Good morning. Welcome. It is good to see everybody here. As always, I appreciate your presence and encourage you to take out a Bible and follow along. I was telling Bonnie this morning that I just feel a little foggy brained this morning. She said it didn't show in class, and I certainly hope it doesn't show now, but everything I say doesn't always make sense to me right now, and I'm hoping it makes sense to you. I have an important message I want to share with you. It is the first Sunday of the month, and so as is our tradition, we will continue the theme for the year. And our theme for this year is to walk by faith. And we've covered several different things with this. We've looked at many different passages, and we've been focusing on just one passage per month. And so we started off with Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And then we looked at Hebrews 11 and verse 1, and we looked at the definition of faith. And I want to remind you that we observed that faith itself is not blind, that faith is based on evidence. And we looked at 1 Peter 1 and verse 9. It says, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. And we talked about how our faith also helps us to endure suffering. We looked at Romans 10, 17. Faith comes from hearing, and we encouraged each other to study God's Word more. James 2 and verse 24, not by faith alone, the need for us to live and act according to our faith. And then last month we saw he must ask in faith without any doubting, and we talked about praying in faith. And it is this month, finally we get here, I want to talk about the theme for the year in its entirety. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, as it happens, in December of 2016, on a Wednesday night, Corey Barnhart got up and he gave an invitation based on this passage. And he didn't know it, but he had unofficially kicked off the theme for the year. He gave a great talk on the idea of we walk by faith and not by sight. And I want to share this with you this afternoon, this morning. Really, see, there's proof. I called it this afternoon and it's clearly not. I really want you to get one point. I won't complain if you get more. So let's start off with some things here. Break down this passage, and it starts off and it talks with this idea of walking. And it's a very simple concept. It means this, that your faith needs to move you. Faith is a little bit like an escalator. See, in many passages it talks about we must stand firm in our faith. And that is true. We must stand in faith. But faith moves you like an escalator. You must be moving, ascending, changing the way you think, changing the way you talk. You must have daily behavioral changes based on your faith. That's what faith is supposed to do. We walk by faith. Or some translations might say we live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it's the same passage, Romans 1:17, same concept. My righteous ones shall live by faith. There's a requirement for us to apply this faith to our lives. In other words, if you're not sitting there and during the week and changing the way you live based on the way you believe, well, then you're not in the faith. The faith is supposed to change us. In Ephesians, this same word for walk is used seven times. And any time the number seven shows up, I have to wonder if that was intentional within God's Word. And I do not know, but it illustrates well this concept of walking. This idea of living in accordance to our faith. We start off in chapter 2 and verse 2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Then verse 10, for we are as workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Chapter 4, verse 1, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Down to verse 17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. Chapter 5 and verse 2, and we walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Down to verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then finally verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk. It's very simple. When we say that we're going to dedicate ourselves to faith, to a belief in Jesus, a belief in God, what we are saying is we are dedicating ourselves to a life focused on that, a life that is changed by that. All right, that's simple enough. Paul says we walk by faith, and he himself is the illustration in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. His faith moved him. His faith changed him. And so he talks about it in chapter 4 and verse 13, and this was a challenge for the people of Corinth. It was a challenge for the people around him. If you look in the book of Acts and you see what leads up to Paul getting to Corinth, he starts off in one place and he gets persecuted there, so he goes to the next place. He gets persecuted there, and he goes to the next place, and he gets persecuted there. Everywhere he went, he was suffering for the name of Christ. And you might very well ask, then why do you keep preaching? And the answer is simple, because I still believe. And so he says in verse 13, but we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. And though he suffered, it didn't change his faith. And his faith then moved him to where he needed to preach. And so he'd go to the next town and he would preach. And he'd go to the next town and he preached. Why? Because he walked by faith. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, it caused him to set aside his current well-being. He endured suffering and instead made his passion to please God. So we'll start off in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He described in chapter 1 about this excessively being burdened to the point that he even despaired of life. But his faith made him look at that and say, that is light. And that is momentary. And he pressed on. And he goes down in verse 5 and verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. And so he has now made it his goal, I will be pleasing to God. That's his faith moving him. It's not about what he wants. It's not about his desires or his passions. It's about God's desires and God's passions. And in that sense, he's the same as Moses. And Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, he endured suffering. He gave up pleasure because of his faith. It was moving him. Hebrews 11 verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And in this we see that he also was keeping himself obedient to God, choosing to serve Him rather than himself. And then finally, I'll add to that in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so he lived in accordance to a judgment. That was all based on faith. Now, we could talk about that for a good while. The truth is, that's really been the focus of the year. That's been the focus of the previous sermons, this idea of walking by faith. That's not the focus of this lesson. If you get this idea, and this morning the lesson that you get is, I need to live according to my faith, that's fantastic. That's great. That's not the actual lesson I really want you to get this morning. It is the next phrase that really gets my attention and our attention this morning. We walk by faith, not by sight. This is one of the great challenges of Christianity. There are many challenges. We face the challenge of our flesh. We face the challenge of going into circumstances in which the world is full of lust and we must overcome it. We face the challenge of having great desires that are not towards righteousness but towards wickedness, and we must overcome it. And that will be a lifelong battle. That is a challenge of Christianity, and some of us will not accomplish it. Some of us will fall away because of it. But there are other challenges. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 lists one of the big ones. And that is a faith by which we walk rather than by sight. And we all must do it. You'll notice in 2 Corinthians 4, we already had this read for us, but especially in verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul's not necessarily talking entirely about sight. He's talking about experience. He's talking about things that you have seen, or things you have known, or things you have experienced. In this particular case, he was talking about his suffering. It wasn't necessarily about seeing the pain. It was about feeling the pain. And he's saying, I'm not focusing on what I can experience right now. I'm focused on what is beyond, on what I cannot see and what I have not experienced. In Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 25, it talks about hope, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. And so we must, if we're to have hope, we're going to have to put our focus on things we have not seen, things we have not experienced. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 8, Peter encourages them, because of the love that they have, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And so we see this idea of not seeing something, but still believing in it. Not seeing someone, but still loving him. And not seeing someone, but still following him. This is one of the great challenges of Christianity. I know that sometimes when we do team building exercises as humans, I've seen it occasionally where we'll put people into an environment they're not familiar with and then blindfold them. And we have somebody else who is next to them and they're supposed to tell them what to do. And we're supposed to then walk blindfolded. That takes faith. It is a test of faith, and it's not nearly good enough of an illustration. You know why? Because the most that's going to happen is you'll stub your toe. Let us change it to you get in the car and I blindfold you. And then the person next to you says, all right, step on the gas. All right, ready? Turn sharp right. Now your faith is being tested. Now it is something that is truly scary and truly difficult. And what we're being told is to follow God, you've got to be willing to do that. And you know what? We're not alone in that. If you want to be an airport pilot, as opposed to those other pilots, if you want to be one of those commercial pilots, you've got to be willing to do that. At some point, they're going to train you to be able to fly and land a plane without being able to see the runway. Because I think we've all been in circumstances where you've been flying and the weather is particularly bad, and you just know up in front, they can't see. And so they have to trust the voice in their ear. And they have to trust the instruments in front of them that tell them you're on the right path, you're going the right speed, you're lined up, the ground is this high, it's this far away from you. They have to trust those things. And what we're finding is that Paul is saying we walk by faith, not by sight. We have to be able to do that. We have to be able to not have all of the answers, to not see everything and understand everything, but to be able to still in blindness press forward. Faith is not blind. Faith is based on evidence. I want you to understand that. Hebrews 11 and verse 1, and when it defined faith for us, we'll go back and review this very quickly. But when it defined faith for us, it said that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, which we've already observed. That includes things you have not seen. And it is the conviction of things not seen. Every time we talk about that, we talk about court cases, because this is always happening in court cases every single day. We have judges who have a case presented before them, and the jury has never seen the crime. And they've never seen the person commit the crime. But they are asked, can we convince you beyond reasonable doubt that that's what happened, even though you didn't see it? And they become convicted. And they convict the person and say, yes, we believe he is guilty. We never saw it, but we saw all the evidence and we become convinced of it. Faith isn't blind. Faith is based on all sorts of evidence. And I have all sorts of evidence and reasons for my faith in God. Whether it is the argument of design, or the argument of origins, or the argument of love, or the argument of beauty, whether it is the argument of observing the, as we did in the previous months, God's clear word being revealed in historical evidence. Whether it is the arguments of the witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, there are all sorts of reasons that we believe. Faith itself is not blind. But once you have faith, it gets you through the blindness. Because there are times when you won't be able to see, and your faith is your only guide. And so our faith is based on evidence, but once we're convinced that God is God, now you're going to be tested at some point. At some point you're not going to see. At some point you're not going to understand. And we must press on. And it doesn't matter how much sight you've had. It doesn't matter how much you've seen. That's still true for all of us. Consider, it is Paul who wrote, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." How much sight did Paul have? He had seen Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had experienced the Holy Spirit. He had performed miracles, tremendous miracles, even resurrecting people from the dead. He had done it to such a degree that he could lay his hands on others and witness them suddenly be able to perform tremendous miracles. He had seen so much, but even he, in all of his sight, had to walk by faith and not by sight, because he had not seen the judgment of God. He had not seen his resurrection. He had not seen the great resurrection for all people to be resurrected. He had not seen himself receiving his place in heaven. And so though he had seen much, he still had to walk by faith. The people of Israel are another example. They had seen so much. They'd seen the plagues and the power of God. They had seen God's power over and over and over again, and yet they still had to have faith, and they lacked it. Somebody came and said, "Oh no, there's giants." And they said, "Well, we can't take the promised land then." Because they hadn't seen God take the promised land for them. They had to believe in it. And they didn't. It is not by sight. It means that you won't have all the answers. It means you won't understand everything. At some point, we must all set aside our self-reliance and put our trust in God who cannot lie. And that's a challenge. For me, I'll share this. I look at the world, and I do not see a world created in 7 days. I do not see a young world. I have seen the layers of rocks, and I understand the amount of time that it would generally take for that to occur. I have seen that there is light from the stars, and I understand how far they have traveled, and that they have traveled further than 6,000 years of light travel, light speed travel. I have seen enough to say the world does not look young. But here's the thing. I believe in a God based on all of the evidence that I have seen and everything else that I have observed. I believe in a God, and when He tells me I did it in 6 days, then I have to accept it. I don't have to have an answer for how the light got from the stars to here in that amount of time. I believe there is one. I don't have to have it. I must walk by faith and not by sight. Bonnie can tell you that when I was out in Grand Junction, my faith was stirred and it was challenged and I was troubled. Because one of the days what I did was I went over to Dinosaur National Monument Park. I don't know if you've been there. It was not what I was expecting. You know what I was expecting to see? The flood. That's what I expected to see. I expected to see the evidence of the flood. And when I got there, it didn't fit. It didn't fit what I understood and what I thought. I'd always assumed this is the way it happened. All of the things that we see around us, so much of it could be explained by the flood. I could only explain some of what I saw in front of me by the flood, and not all of it. And so now what do I do? Well, I could search the scriptures to find additional answers, and maybe they're there. Maybe they're there. But the truth is, I don't have to have answers. because the evidence has caused me already to believe. Therefore, I will continue even when I can't see. Even when I can't see the answer. Perhaps for you, it is you are enduring some pain and you do not know why. And you desperately want that answer. We all do. We want that answer. Why am I going through this? Why did this person do this to me? Why did God allow this? And you won't get the answers most of the time. We must walk by faith, not by sight. At some point, you're going to be challenged in that regard. And for some people, that will be their stumbling block. They are so self-reliant. They trust upon their own experiences, their own knowledge, their own way, their own thinking, their own intelligence. And when somebody says, you're going to have to trust God on this, they won't do it. I have two things to say to you if that's you. The first is, well, then you cannot follow God and do not deceive yourself otherwise. This is about faith. Faith is a conviction of the things not seen, and without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please God. You cannot please God unless you're willing to set aside your sight and perhaps your experiences and willing to press on without understanding. I have two things to say to you. The first one is you can't follow God. The second one is you're wrong. And what I mean by that is you may not realize it, but you're lying either to me or to yourself when you say, I cannot walk by faith instead of sight, because you do it all of the time. We all do. Everybody does. We all do it. Allow me to illustrate just a few illustrations for you. If I were to ask in here how many of you believe that the earth is the center of the universe, I don't think I'd get too many raised hands. That used to be believed. Everyone believed the earth was the center of the universe and that the sun actually went around the earth. But you've been taught from school in early days that the earth is just twirling. And it's not the sun going around us, it's us rotating. And in fact, we go around the sun. You believe that, don't you? Have you ever seen it? The truth is, if you look at what you have seen, it is you wake up one day and the sun is over there, and you watch it. You watch it go like this. Now you tell me what your evidence tells you right there. What your sight tells you is the world stays because you didn't feel like you were moving and the sun moves. But all of us have accepted on the word of our teachers that's not the case. Everybody I know has done it. Or how about tomorrow? Now you have all sorts of reasons to believe there will be a tomorrow, don't you? Yesterday there was a tomorrow. The day before that there was a tomorrow. There's always been a tomorrow. All of your life, all of your experience tells you there's a tomorrow. But you know what? You haven't seen it. And so even though you have all sorts of reasons to believe there will be a tomorrow, you still have to believe it. Because you haven't seen that there will be a Monday, July the 3rd, 2017. But we all live in accordance to that faith. We walk by faith and not by sight there. I imagine most of you have already made plans for the next few days. You know what that is? Walking by faith, not by sight. So when somebody tells me, oh, I can't do that, they're not telling the truth. And here's something else I want you to understand, young people especially, but all of us. When others mock our faith and accuse us of having blind faith because we believe in what's not been seen, they do it just as much as us. Please understand that. They tell us it's ridiculous for us to believe in a God who created the earth in 6 days. They do it just as much as us because they believe in a Big Bang, and I assure you they've never seen it. Never, ever seen it. Now they have their reasons, they have their evidence, so do we. They've put their faith in their experiences on this earth. We put our faith in the things that have shown us that there is a God, and then we believe God's word, and they believe their own thoughts and experiences, but don't ever mistake it. They have not seen the Big Bang. They walk by faith and not by sight. And they have never seen life come from non-life, ever. Never have they seen it. But they are convinced of it. You know what that is? They walk by faith and not by sight. And let them mock us for doing the exact same thing they're doing. They've never seen monkeys turn into you, but they believe it. No one has seen those things. So, are you getting the point? The one point I want you to get from this? We walk by faith, not by sight. So, I have not seen the forgiveness of God. I may not have even felt it, but I believe it. I have not seen Jesus return, but I have read it in God's Word, and I trust God's Word, and so I believe it. And I press on in accordance to it. I have not seen the judgment, but I believe it, and so I press on towards it and act in accordance to it. I have not seen heaven, but I believe it, and I press on towards it. We must walk by faith and not by sight. Paul did. We can. We must. And that makes me think of something else. When we think about this passage in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, there's another word in there I just want you to notice for a second. And then this lesson will be yours. And it's the word we. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This faith that we must have, that gets us through the things we do not see, will make you sometimes feel alone. And you must be willing to stand firm in this faith while you're alone. In other words, if everybody in your faith, if you're in your family, your spouse, your children, your parents, whoever, if they all decide to give up the faith and fall away, you have to have the strength to stand firm and say, but I still believe, even if you don't. We have to have the strength to stand alone, but we never will stand alone. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Even if you feel isolated and feel alone, there have been many for generations who have taken the stand that you take. And even today, though you might feel alone, there are many who take that stand with you today. Either in this room or around this world, you are not alone, because we walk by faith, not by sight. I encourage you to prepare yourself for this. Prepare yourself for the challenge of not knowing, not understanding, and not feeling the direction that you're supposed to go, but walking that way anyways. Now, if there are any here who are not Christians, but you have examined the evidence and have come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, we implore you to start to live in accordance to that faith. That means to die to your old self, and sacrifice that way of thinking and living, and put yourself on the path towards Jesus. Put in different descriptions, when the people came to Peter and they had come to that moment, they said, what should we do? His answer is repent. And let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And the answer remains the same today. Repent of your sins and be baptized into Him for forgiveness. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, we beg you and implore you to come back before it's too late. Once more, won't you walk the walk of faith? Once more, won't you please God? Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?